Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Rahul Mahajan. He's a sociologist and author of Full Spectrum Dominance, U.S. Power in Iraq and Beyond. Hi, Rahul.
Hi, Sonali.
The Australian government has changed hands with the defeat of the Liberal Party's Tony Abbott. Prime Minister Abbott had provoked global ire over his conservative positions on climate change in particular, but also social issues like same-sex marriage. He will now be replaced by Communications Minister Malcolm Turnbull, who the New York Times describes as a, quote, moderate liberal and a former investment banker and lawyer. At a press conference, Turnbull said that Abbott, quote, has not been capable of providing the economic leadership our nation needs. He has not been capable of providing the economic confidence that business needs. Turnbull will be Australia's fourth prime minister since 2013. And according to the BBC, many in his party dislike his support for climate change action and gay marriage. Despite its name, the Liberal Party is Australia's Conservative Party. Well, Rahul, on a global scale, is this good news, at least for the fight to curb climate change?
You know, it's hard to say, Sonali, but I'm guessing not in the short term. So, I mean, a couple things to remember. Turnbull lost his leadership seat to Abbott because of the climate change issue back in 2009. The reason that Abbott has just been deposed is basically that he's a national embarrassment, and the result has been that the Liberals have been dipping considerably in national opinion polls. That's the cited reason that Turnbull gives, and that probably has more to do with incendiary statements about marriage equality and issues like that than it does with the repeal of the carbon tax last year, which, when it was repealed, that repeal was supported by the whole Liberal Party. Also, in his first speech, at least, Turnbull has not mentioned climate change specifically. So I think he's very slow. It is a real shame because Australia was one of the few countries showing progress until Abbott turned it around and canceled the carbon tax.
Britain has also had a major political shakeup in recent days. In party elections over the weekend, Britain's Labour Party handed a victory over to Jeremy Corbyn, a staunch leftist leader. Corbyn, who proudly identifies as a socialist, won the party vote with a landslide 60%. The New York Times described him as consistent and sincere, a professed man of the hard left who believes that the Labour Party must return to its roots in the working class and fight inequality in all its forms. He is a sharp critic of American foreign policy and of Israel. He wants Britain to abandon its nuclear deterrent and has favored quitting NATO, end of quote. Corbyn's victory has energized the Labour Party, which, as its name suggests, is rooted in promoting the rights of working class people. British Prime Minister David Cameron, who leads the Conservative Party, responded to Corbyn's win, saying, "Labour are now a serious risk to our nation's security, our economy's security, and your family's security." Well, Rahul, already there are speculations that Corbyn will not be able to keep the Labour Party together for very long enough, at least long enough to figure in national elections. What do you think?
Well, I think that Corbyn has a great opportunity, but it's also a very dangerous one. So let's remember that he doesn't really have the majority support of the Labour MPs. He's got pretty much the entire press against him. I mean, you can see, you know, screeds against him in The Independent and The Guardian just as easily as you can in the right-wing papers. And his agenda, a lot of it will sound to people like issues that were dealt with in the 70s, like nationalization of industries. So he has to move slowly and carefully. And I think the first thing he's got to do is pick issues and fights on which he can shore up his parliamentary support within his own party. And he has to make sure not to overreach and go the way of former stalwarts like Tony Benn and Neil Kinnock.
And finally, here in the U.S., a new investigative report by ProPublica has found that wealthy universities are leaving their poorest students behind. The report, titled "Colleges Flush with Cash Saddle Poorest Students with Debt," was based on data released by the Department of Education. Writers singled out New York University for having a $3.5 billion endowment and having so much cash that it offers some of its faculty loans to buy summer homes. Meanwhile, their low-income students who receive Pell Grants graduate with an average debt of $23,250. University of Southern California and Boston University were also guilty of saddling poor students with massive debts. According to the report, quote, overall, students at nonprofit universities fare far better than those at for-profit schools and community colleges. Rahul, does the study point out how universities are being run as big businesses instead of focusing on education?
Well, you know, it is true, of course, Sonali, that universities are being run as big businesses and education is somewhere fairly far down the list. But let's also remember that elite institutions, one of their jobs for business is not just to make money themselves, but to turn out the meritocratic elite that is supposed to be, you know, driving the global economy and whatnot. And in that regard, if you look at, there's a real difference between these institutions that you just mentioned and the top tier places, Harvard or Princeton or some of the top liberal arts colleges like Amherst and Williams. They are much more generous with poor students, and some of them even actually seek out poorer students to get them in on the idea that they're drawing from a larger merit pool to eventually serve corporate America. It's places like NYU, Boston University, USC, that were traditionally places for rich kids with low to middling at best academic achievement that have been laggards, and that now that they're trying to...
Well, I want to thank you so much, as always, for joining us, Rahul. We're sorry we got cut off on that last sentence. Rahul Mahajan is a sociologist and author of Full Spectrum Dominance. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.